Father, I thank you and I praise you for those who came out tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you're in control of all things. No matter what's going on all across the land, Father God, you are in control. And Father God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that's shed abroad upon everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence tonight, Father God, and to glean from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The revival tonight is called Basking in His Glory. And see, this is what you're supposed to be doing tonight during the praise and worship, is basking in His glory. You're supposed to be letting the words just, even if you can't sing them, you know, just let them just sink into your spirit, man. And that kind of stuff will change you forever and ever. The reason why the body of Christ is in the mess that they're in is they don't know how to truly worship. And you know, they don't know how to receive. Therefore, they don't know how to give out either. And this is what God's told me. This is what you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to receive and how to give out. There's a lost. And, all right, let's just say with everything that's going on in the world, those people are in a mess tonight, right? And I'm quite sure some of them are calling upon the Father. And I'm quite sure others are wondering why their Father's allowed this to go on in their life. But, you know, we need to quit asking those kind of questions. Just thank Him. And just praise Him. And just give Him honor. Just give Him glory. Now, basking means to be exposed. And glory means brilliant, radiant beauty. So we can say during this revival that God is exposing His children to His brilliant, radiant beauty. Isn't that awesome? God showed me that. I think that's powerful. God is exposing His children to His brilliant, radiant beauty. How are you going to give to the world if you aren't exposed to it first? You know, we always have to be the ones to be exposed to everything about God before we can take it to anybody else. All right? You know, I'm hearing God say there's a multitude of souls right now that are lost and dying. And they don't even know about His Son, Jesus. You know, that's really sort of hard to comprehend, seeing as how so much word goes out. And, you know, and how many missionaries are sent overseas and missionaries are brought over here, you know, and yet there are people who have not heard about Jesus. But it's the truth. There really is. And so God's getting us prepared to proclaim that gospel wherever we go. All right, Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." I want you, each one of you, to let that sink into your spirit. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, I've taught you over and over again. Now, we were in heaven with the Father. Before we came down to this earth, we had a long conversation with the Father, and we agreed to Him that we'd come down here and do an assignment for Him. All right? So the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was ever born, he was to be a prophet to the nations. Do you really comprehend this? Before you were ever born, when you're up and running around heaven having fun, you already had the assignment on your life, and God was just waiting for the time. The time was ready for you to send you down to finish your race down here. And then Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I've been a baby Christian only for a year, and I can't be used by God, or I haven't studied the Bible enough, so God can't really use me." And Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." He's saying, "Jeremiah, you don't have to do a thing, but just be. Then I'm going to do everything else." And then God said, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." If, you know, whenever God calls you, you don't have to be concerned about what people say about you. Because God has called you, God has ordained you, God is working through you, and the ones who come against you don't understand God, period, or they wouldn't be coming against you. So you have to understand this. When people start coming against you, they hate you or can't stand you or something else, they are not saved. They are not sanctified by the Holy Spirit, because if they were, they would not do those things to a child of God. It's time we all come to grips with that. So when anybody's being hateful and ignorant to you, they're just not born again. Because if you're born again, all old things are passed away and all things become new, right? All right, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, God will place his words in your mouth. When Larry got my service off my desk in the car, he said, you didn't have very many pages tonight. He's used to 15 to 20 pages. You know, that counts to 10 because everything's in 14 and bold. I said, no, that's all I have. It's just these 5 pages. That's it. See? You know, God is going to do what God wants to do. He doesn't care if it's 15 pages long or 20 pages long or 1 page long. He's going to do what he's going to do within that word he gives you. And the reason why I had to put those songs together the way they were is because I'm going to talk about God's love here, but you need to understand that God is total love. You need to understand that God will come into your life and he will do things in your life to get your attention, to cause you to understand how much he truly does love you. And see, so many times we fight God because we're in a tight place. And really in that tight place, you know, I did that to learn. In that tight place, God is trying to change us and rearrange us so that we will be strong towers that others can run into. But yet we fuss about the tight places. And God doesn't want us to fuss about the tight places no longer. We're done with fussing. We're just going to go ahead and just go on with God and do what God's calling us to do. And whatever comes, comes. You know, we talk about how terrible it is that hurricanes hit in Florida the way it is. But God's, I've been telling you, because God's been speaking through me, telling you all, we don't know what's going to happen here yet. We do not know what's going to happen here yet. I know I'm thanking God that I'm not in Florida, though. I mean, I really am. But I don't know what God's going to do here, because he keeps telling me, tell them they don't know what's going to happen. And he said the catastrophic events are going to happen over and over, one behind the other. And years ago, when he told me how he was going to bring all this stuff of destruction about, he said, when I'm finished, America will not look like America. And it's beginning to look like that, isn't it? So when God's finished with your life, you're not going to be the same either. What you were when he started is not going to be what you are when he's finished. And some of you are in the middle, some of you are 3/4 way through, and you wish you'd get the whole way through because you're tired of the pressure, right? Yes. But you know, God has to get our attention. He has to get our attention. All right, verse 10 says, God said, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. See, he's telling Jeremiah exactly what he's going to do, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah, you're going to do total destruction, but then I'm going to use you to rebuild. Are you seeing this? You know, I want to stop there. I told somebody the truth last night. And they told somebody else that I told them the truth. And somebody else is upset with me now. I said, what am I supposed to do? You know, if I don't tell you what's going on, then if you die, then your blood's on my hands. So, you know, God uses your prophet to tear down. Then you build up. You get their attention. And then whenever they come to you with repentance in their heart, then God will start building up again. Are you understanding how this works? Some of you in here aren't going through your valleys very well. You want to be on the mountaintop whenever you're still down in the valley. There's still things in that valley God has to teach you yet. Amen. Just hope the water doesn't run down into your valley and drown you, though. Amen. All right, our worth to God started before we were ever born. I really want you to get that in your spirit. You know, as I was typing this afternoon, I remember the guy who was a son to Satan. What was that guy's name? Yes. Yes, and so that came to me because whenever I said our worth to God started before we were ever born, it just came to me. Some people were saying, I wasn't even God's ever. But see, even if you were sold yourself out to Satan and became his son like this young man did, the young man found Jesus, turned his life around, was serving Jesus, but Satan never quit harassing him. Because once you serve Satan and you're a good vessel that he works through, and then you leave him, he gets very upset with you. And he's going to harass you all the days of your life. So you, all right, so if you can't stand harassment, then go ahead and go to the pigsty. And then when you die, you'll be tormented forever. We're going to go ahead and stay out of the pigsty, and we're going to go to heaven and sit in heavenly places forever. And then eventually come down, rebuild, right? And help God create a newer heaven and earth, or a new earth. So what are you made of? I think some of you find out right now you're not all that you thought you were. Right? You thought you were a strong boy and you could just endure anything, and then along comes God. Along comes Satan. We're in a tug of war. You know, Jesus saying, go ahead, do what you want to with them, because they won't leave me. And so then here comes Satan, and he does everything he can to you to make you leave God. And after a bit, you feel like your arms are going to be yanked out of the sockets, right? Because of the tug of war back and forth. Now, I say that because God told me I was in a tug of war with him and Satan. It's up to me who wins this race. My arms get weary, so my sockets get sore tired. But I always make sure that Jesus is winning the race. And one time I read where somebody said, God does not have us in a chess game. And I thought, wonder why they said that. And I bet a year later God said, this is a chess game. I said, God, that man said, I don't care what that man said, this is a chess game. You know, sometimes don't you think, God, what is this here? We're just chess pieces. You and Satan up there, you know, moving us all around, doing all kind of things to us. You see this? But all in all, God keeps us safe. Well, anyway, getting back to this guy that was Satan's son, and I know there's people that sit in this church were Satan's sons or daughters. I know that for a fact. Now, you know, you don't have to get all your pants all in a wad if you did that. What you need to do is leave Satan, turn your heart to God, and start serving God. Satan's going to come after you. So be it. So be it. Let him come. He comes after us who didn't serve Satan. Satan comes at, because he hates us more than he hates you for leaving. And he comes after us, and we're still serving, right? So why can't you? Quit using that excuse for not serving God. I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that. If you're still serving Satan, and it's because that's really desire of your heart. You don't know how much I'm fighting. Yes, I do, because God has shown me. But yet, there's a part of you that does not want to yield. End of statement. No more. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I just know what God told me. All right? Do you think that we who have not sold ourselves out to Satan don't fight? And don't you think that we who have not sold out to Satan, you know, we've been serving God all of our life, don't you think there's times that we are a little bit disobedient, that we grow weary in well-doing? We do. And we have to fight our way back. God said to me one time, daughter, you've got to return back to your first love. I didn't know I left him. Then when he started showing me what I've been doing, I thought, well, you're right. I was not acting like Jesus. This was years ago. But still and all, see, little by little by little, the enemy comes and sneaks in there and steals away your love for God. And you don't even know he's even at work. But God told me one time, he said, daughter, I have your back. Because he said, as you're working, going forward and doing my work, the enemy's come trying to come in the back door. But I have your back. So don't say, well, you know, the enemy's sneaking in. No, he's not. God has your back. He really does have your back. And you're not going to go under. You're going to go over. You really are. You are going to go over. Only you can make yourself not. God has given me a promise that his children will go over. Now, are you one of his children or are you not? You have to stay the course. Come on. All right, so as our worth to God started before we were ever born, you are no accident. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. Well, you're an accident. I didn't want to have you anyhow. I don't care what you wanted to have. God wanted that baby born. And you were no accident. You were no freak of nature. God had a purpose for your life, and so let's say a drug addict had you. He chose the vessel, and he can work through you. All right? So you are no accident. So don't, well, you know, all you people are chosen. You're special. That's not true. You're just as special as any. We're all special to God. You know, he's no respecters of persons. Some of you went the bad way yourself. You thought, oh, that looks interesting. So I think I'll just do that. And so you did that. You know, nobody twisted your arm. You just let your eyes go where they shouldn't have went. Come on. And now if you're paying the consequences, well, pay it. You know, pay your dues and get over it. Quit your complaining. All right, I said, you're no accident. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world, we're part of the world, right? That he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to have everlasting life. You're not going to perish. We all die. We know that. But if we believe in Jesus, we'll go to heaven. And we're still going to be alive, more alive than we are down here. Then eventually we're going to come back down here. So we're never going to perish. Do you see what that means? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, when people say, well, you just preach condemnation. No, I don't. God's convicted. The Holy Spirit's convicting you and you don't like it. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Each one of you sitting here tonight have been wonderfully created. Get that in your spirit. Each one of you sitting here tonight have been wonderfully created. There's many times I have to remind myself that. Because there's many times, you know, that I get upset and I say, God, I'm not like Jesus. I'm just never going to make it. But then I have to remind myself, no, that's not true. I was with the Father in heaven. And then he placed me in my mother's womb. He breathed his life, his breath into my nostrils. And I'm his child and I'm going to make it. We all have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I read an article a couple weeks ago where the man said, I had to pull myself up by my bootstraps and go on. I said, well, there you go. There was a preacher. He said, nobody was there to help me. And you know, and I've been telling you that because my father told me that when I was a young girl. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Somebody else is not going to understand you. Somebody else is not going to want to help you. They're going to be so upset with you, they just want to smack you out into never, never land. So you're going to have to say, Father, I'm pulling myself up by my bootstraps tonight, and I'm going on with you, and you let them see what's really going on in my life. Amen. But then, you know, that might not be so good. They might not care what's going on in your life. They just know they had enough of your life. I'm sorry, but that's just the way the church is. Every one of us, every now and then, maybe more now than then, more then than now, I should say, we get super tired with what's going around about us, do we not? And we just say, God, strike them. Show them your wrath. Do whatever you say to them, you know. And God's saying, be still, be quiet. Now, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. You men are nothing but dust. I don't know why you think you're all that and then some. Come on. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Well, see, God told me that, so I looked up the scripture, and that's why. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You men sitting here, God scraped some dust together, formed you, and then he breathed his DNA into your little nostrils. And you are not acting like Jesus, I'm sorry to say. If the men were acting like Jesus, we'd have the house full of men along with their wives and children. Are you listening? But God did say the men were going to come back into the house of God. They're through their pornography now and all their other perversion. Now they're going to come back and give God the second chance. Isn't that wonderful of them? To give God, you're all saying, no, that they're going to give God the second chance. Get out of here. You didn't even catch what I said. All right. You are the workmanship of your heavenly Father. I want everybody in this room to know this. You are the workmanship of your... I don't care if you're fat, thin, skinny. I don't care if your flesh is spotted. I don't care what's wrong with you or what isn't wrong with you. You are created in the image of your Father. And I know that I have never seen God, but I know he's not a freak. And the Bible tells us Jesus was very ugly. And I can tell you, when the Bible also says that Satan was very handsome, and he really is, because I've seen him. Long blonde hair, blue eyes, charisma all over the place. Until you make him mad, then he turns into the serpent he really is. I know, I've seen him, and he's done just that. Isn't that how some people do? Get in your face all sweet, behind your back, they're a snake, you know. their true nature comes to life. All right, you are the workmanship of your heavenly Father. Each of one of us here tonight have God's DNA in us. So God's DNA said no failure, right? God's DNA said we are the victorious ones, right? God said that we have more than enough, right? I mean, God's DNA is he can do anything he wants to do to the devil. Well, he can do anything he wants to do, but I'm talking about what we can do to the devil. Because we have God's DNA in us, we can destroy the devil. But the problem is that we don't try to destroy the devil, we're trying to destroy people. And I'm on a little bit of a tangent of that right now. I get so sick of that, you know, and because people, you know, people are messed up. They say they messed up everybody else around about them. Don't you be one of those. You have God's DNA in you. You are stronger than the people around about you. You are more than a conqueror, and you can be victorious in every area of your life. You can. It's a battle. And I was thinking about this last night. I know whenever we used to come to church and everything was just happy, you know, and no problems. Some of you don't know that. And your life just flowed, you know, and you were just happy about everything, and God was always in everything, you know, and well, he still is. But I mean, his glory was always there, and you were just happy, happy, happy. I know that area of walking with God, but now I know this area, and I don't like this area. I don't like this battle all constantly. And before, you didn't have a battle. You were happy all the time. But now it's constant, you know. All right, so you go to bed and you prayed, you go to bed, you're really happy, and all of a sudden you wake up and here's this atmosphere. There he is, the devil, right there in your bedroom. Then you have to pray and fight him and get him out of your bedroom, right? See, I don't like that. I would like to go back to bed again and be happy all night. But that, I'm sorry, things have changed. It's a different dispensation. And God told me years ago, and I told the church, we're in a battle now. Satan has come down with all of his wrath, and we're in a battle. What are you going to do when World War III breaks out? And it is going to break out. What are you going to do when that happens? What are you going to do if a catastrophe happens here in this area? Are you going to turn from God, or are you going to run to God? You have to think about these things now before they happen. All right? All right, so each one of us are unconditionally loved. Unconditionally loved. Now, just listen to what I'm going to say here. God is love. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I know some of you sitting here tonight, you really don't know what love's all about. You just think you do, and what you're projecting is not love. It's a shame to God, and you profess to know God. You really don't know him. Or you wouldn't do the things you're doing. I want everybody to think about that. God is life. First of all, I said he's love. Now he's life. Jeremiah 10, 10a. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. He is life. Now the third thing is God is holy. Psalms 99:9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. So first of all, he's love, then he's life, and he's holy. These are all three aspects of our Father. Now, do you have those three aspects? Now, if you get angry every now and then, you still have those aspects. Amen. You know, just because you get a little bit upset at what's going on around about you doesn't mean that you're not one of God's children. It just means you're sick and tired of trash around about you. You're sick and tired of people professing to be one thing when they're not. All right? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of fighting the devil in my own home, aren't you? Your own relatives. I'm really, truly, really sick of that. Now, love is not something God chooses to do or give. Love is the very essence of who God is. He doesn't choose to give it. He is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. And see, this is the problem. Well, I don't know if I love you today or not, you jerk. Then you're not God's. You don't choose to love people. You're either God's child and you're full of love, or you're not. And if you get upset with somebody, it doesn't mean you don't love them. I get upset with a lot of people in my family. I get upset with some of you here in the church. But that doesn't have anything to do with my love. When God brings out his rod of wrath, it has nothing to do with his love. Well, it does have something to do with his love for you, because he doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He wants to straighten you up. He wants to bring you into heavenly places. Amen. But when I say when he brings his rod of wrath, it doesn't mean he's taking his love from you for you from him. He still loves you. You ought to thank God he loves you enough to take that rod and smack you, Goodwin. Amen. You know, one time, you know, God said to me, his daughter, he said, I don't want you to die and go to hell. He said, that's why I chastised you. And my father used to say, your father probably did too, this hurts me more than it does you. And I thought, well, then just do it yourself. Right? Amen. And then he'd hug me and kiss me afterwards, but I just didn't like what I was getting, what was going on. But I'm quite sure this is what God is saying. Daughter, this is hurting me more than it is you. Because I really never wanted you to go this direction. You know? And it really hurts me to have to bring down my wrath upon you. Because you should know better. But there were a lot of dumb sheep, aren't we? But you know what? We need to start being smart sheep. Right? We need to be sheep that's full of wisdom and the knowledge of God. We need to be sheep that's not going to wander off of the path and go down a crooked path, but stay in the path that God has placed our feet upon. You know, God kept, the whole time, you know, that I've been thinking about this, you know, the basking in his glory revival, God's been telling me they have to know how much I love them. You really need to get in your spirit tonight. God loves you. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to tell you he doesn't. And you're going to believe the enemy because you believed him for so many years and followed him. And now you're going to believe that he doesn't love you. Are you listening? So tonight, when you came out of your mother's womb and God breathed his DNA into you, that DNA was nothing but pure love. Yes, the enemy did come and he did steal that love and he did cover it with darkness. But you know what? God wants to uncover it right now. And he wants you to be so full of love that what people do to you doesn't hurt you anymore. Amen. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed. Is this truth in your life? That's what the word says, but do you really believe it? See, that's the question. It's not, is the word true? Because we know the word is true. But do you believe? And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Do you really believe that? Don't you think that that's why some, you know, I know we always say, well, you know, they had a bad childhood and this and that and the other. And we preach, but it wasn't God doing that to you. And we try to set you free through the word, but you still don't want to believe that God really loves you. So what happens? You stay bound in your own chains because you allow the enemy to still keep you in that prison saying nobody loves me, and that's not true. And see, you'll never ever be happy because you will never be able to receive love because you're believing the lie and not the truth. And it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love motivates God's every action, directs his activities, and reflects his desires. Why do you believe Satan and you won't believe God? Ask yourself that. Why do you believe what Satan says, but yet you won't believe what God says? The word God tells you, and you know Satan wanted to take God's place. You know he's thrown out of heaven. And you know the word of God says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So why do you want to believe his lies, and you won't believe the simple truth that God loves you? What blockage is it in you that won't let that truth come forth? Yeah, ask yourself that. Because when you're acting like a fool, that one song said, I don't want to be a fool, live a fool anymore. When you're acting like a fool, why can't you accept love from God? I know I've been reading that pornography has ruined men and women, and because of pornography, men and women don't know how to love. And I've read all that. But you know what? Don't come to me and use that as a cop out, because I don't believe that junk. I mean, I believe that you get so perverted that you don't know how to love. It's just all lust. But I also know that God is there. And I also know that God is able to set you free. And I also know that if you let God set you free, then you'll get full of love, and then you'll be able to do the things God's called you forth to do. Are you listening here? Men and women both were caught up into pornography. I've read, and it makes me sick. But I've been reading about that over the years. I won't say anything else, but I don't understand why you mess your body up like that. When God made you perfect. God made you perfect. You messed your own body up. You went to the pigsty. God didn't drive you there. You went there yourself. So tonight, why don't you understand that Satan hates you? He helped drive you to the pigsty, but God loves you so much, he's still standing there waiting for you with outstretched arms, and he just wants you to run into his arms. And just let God just cleanse you, and let God take all that junk out of you. God's love, where am I at, Nancy? God's love is not a love of convenience and ego. God's love is unconditional and never fails. God's love is not a love of convenience and ego. God's love is unconditional and never fails. Do you believe that? I don't think you do. Or you wouldn't go around doing the things you're doing. Unconditional love does not mean that God loves everything we do, though. All right? But rather, his love is so intense that he loves every sinner, no matter how vile and despicable he or she may be in the eyes of humanity. I might look at you and think you're the most despicable thing in the world. I don't, but I could. You know, I mean, could do that. But God doesn't look at you like that because you're his child. You know, whenever you work with the system, the criminal system, they don't give people a chance. They look at them with hate and say that they are what they are and they never will be anything better. But see, that's Satan. But God doesn't work that way. He looks at you as a sinner, but he knows how he formed you. He knows that his DNA is in you. And he knows if you'll just start believing him, you will turn around and you will become the true child of God he wants you to be. If you were once and went off the deep end, then you can still turn around and come back. But you're going to have to believe in God's unconditional love. He doesn't love the sin, but he does love the sinner. All right? Now, Mother Teresa said, intense love does not measure. It just gives. She said, intense love does not measure. It just gives. Well, let's just see if they love me today. If they don't love me today, I'm not going to love them either. See, that's measuring love. Let's just see how they act towards me today when we get up. If they act nice, then I'll act nice. If they don't speak, I won't speak either. Now, that's not godly, is it? If they're being rude or anything, just stick your foot out and trip them. Then I'll have to say at least ouch, right? Amen. Come on. That might get their attention. No, I'm just teasing. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a question you should ask yourself. Whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We don't believe that because we don't act like that. How do you know what I believe? Well, I just watch your fruit. And I can tell you don't believe the word. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us, see that, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now see, you don't believe the word, or else you don't know it. But look at all the things, you just read everything, we just read everything Paul went through, but Paul's saying nothing can separate me from God. I don't care what they do with me, nothing can separate me from God. See, a lot of you in here, you have a mindset of what used to happen in your life. And when you came into the house of God, you never gave your heart to God. You just came into the house of God, and you're sitting in the house of God hearing the word, but never receiving the word. And therefore, because you don't really receive the word, then you don't change. All right? Now, you know, Satan puts up, somebody was asking me, how come when I pray, I can't seem to get through? Well, we all know that that happens because Satan puts up a block. We've all been there, haven't we? He puts up a wall, and he won't let you, he stops you from praying. What do? You just keep binding that spirit and tear that wall down. Now, see, I know a wall is there because when that one time when God had me go there to that workplace with that person and told me to get this person and make them leave, in the spirit realm, he showed me before I went, because I didn't want to go, he showed me the woman that was going to be there and showed me that the woman was trying to entice this man to destroy him. And then he showed me what I had to do. I had to take the man in the vision. I had to take the man and make him leave. And when he said, don't let him look back, whatever you do, don't let him look back. I could look back, but he couldn't. And I was pushing him forward. And the devil, well, the woman, first of all, was screaming, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. And then all of a sudden, the woman turned into a snake and said, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. And then as I was pushing this man, you know, down this path God had us on, and then all of a sudden, the snake turned into Satan. And he said, he's mine. And I laughed at him, because I was cocky then. And I laughed at him. And I said, no, he's not. He belongs to God. And I shoved him and I both. And when I did, a glass partition came between me and the devil. And the devil was beating on that glass partition, saying, I'll kill you, he said to me. I said, no, you won't. You can't touch me. Well, I found out he can't touch me, but he can't kill me. But see, he said, he's mine and I'm going to have him. Well, he didn't get him. But still, no, I know the petition is put there. I know that God can separate us from the devil. I know that he can protect us if we would just trust and believe him. See, if I'd have let the man look backwards, he would have been gone. God said, and he tried to look backwards. And I kept taking his head, no, look straight ahead, and kept shoving him until God put that partition between us. So I'm saying all this, saying all that to say this. You do not have to give in to the wiles of the devil. God will protect you. He will put a glass partition between you and the enemy, and you will be safe. You know, the word says, no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. I mean, the devil can harass you, but it won't be able to take hold of what it's trying to do to you if you keep your eyes on God and don't give in to his temptations. See, you are the one that allows these weapons to harm you, because whenever you give in to the temptation, God can't do anything about it. You have to be like me and the man was. You have to just keep running down that path until you see that glass separating you from the devil. All right? I'm hearing the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't get the joy of the Lord down inside of you, you're not going to have any strength to fight the devil. You're not going to be able to go out there and win the souls, the lost souls to Christ. You're just not going to be able to do it. Because when you get out there, whatever's in you is going to connect with that spirit that's in that person. Next thing you're going to be drawn to the darkness instead of to the light. Now, God knows who to mate you with. If you're weak, he will mate you with a strong person. And when we pick our own mates and they're messed up, it's because the two of you weren't supposed to be matched anyhow. This is why you need to make sure that it's God placing you together and not yourself or the other person. All right? Because if you allow God to put you with who you're supposed to be with, everything's going to work out fine. But if you do it yourself, it's going to be a mess. My first husband, God told me, and I didn't know about the voice of God, I really didn't. He said, don't walk down that aisle. And I thought, what? Don't walk. And I looked around, I said, you've got to be kidding. This place, this church is packed out. My mother has all this food back there, and I'm not supposed to walk down this aisle. I didn't know who was talking to me. But I walked down that aisle, and my life was not good. All right? Now, if I'd have known the voice of God, a lot of you sitting in here tonight, you didn't know the voice of God early on. And so what you did out of total ignorance. And so don't, you know, God's not holding that against you. But now since you know you can hear the voice of God, then what you need to do is start obeying the voice of God. All right? And if you start obeying the voice of God, all right, like just for an example, I think Catherine and Christopher were told not to get married right then, and they did. They told you not to get married right then, and you did. See, it was all right to get married, but not right then. You see what I'm saying? And I think he told Adam, don't get married right now, right? I think he did. So don't you get married right now. But see, so even though the marriage is called of God, he knows the perfect timing. And so many of us are blaming the spouse for our mess up, and all the time it was you, because you didn't do what God told you to do. And see, if we would just look at our life, if we would just ask God about our life, he would show us that we were disobedient in different areas, and that's why we ended up the way we did. And like God, what God told me to tell that man, Satan paints a pretty picture, but he never shows you what's behind the canvas. How many of you have seen a pretty picture? You bought the picture, and what was behind it was not worth anything you spent on it. And it totally destroyed you. Isn't that true? Satan will make everything look good, but that doesn't mean you have to buy into it. And this is what bothers me, to watch the children in the house of God buy into Satan's lies and his deceptions. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knew there was no way to save us. We could put as many bulls as we wanted to on the altar. It was not going to work. So he sent his own son to the cross to shed his blood to save you and I. There was no more shedding of blood after that. He shed that blood, and that's all we need. And he loved us so much when we were in our sin that he gave up his son. You really need to think about that. You know, I think about that. Would I give up one of my children? No, I wouldn't. No, don't even ask me that, God, because I love my kids and I don't like to see them hurt. But Jesus and God, we're in heaven together. They talked out the plan. Jesus, I'll go down. Knowing all the pain he was going to have to go through. So he knew what he was going to have to go through. But still he did it because he loved you that much. And the Bible tells me he's sitting at the right hand of the Father forever interceding for us. I'll bet he said, well, look at that dumb thing down there, God. Please don't destroy her. She just doesn't know what she's lost her mind for a few seconds. Amen. He's forever interceding for you and I. Why? Because he loves us so much, he shed his blood for you and I. God isn't asking you to die, you know, physically for him. He's asking you just to give your heart to him. Serve him with all your heart. Everybody needs the power of love in their lives. You know, when a marriage is gone amok, love has left it. Grace leaves the house. Do you understand that? There's no love. There's no grace. There's no light. There's all but the only thing that's left is darkness. Everything around about you starts going wrong. When love leaves the scene, grace does too. Might as well call it quits. You might as well call it quits. Because God can't work where there isn't love. You get this in your spirit tonight. God cannot work where there isn't love. One of the results of basking in God's glory is the wonderful gift of being totally and completely bathed in his unconditional love. One of the results of basking in God's glory is the wonderful gift of being totally and completely bathed in his unconditional love. You know, as I'm teaching here tonight, looking around at your faces, you know, I look at you now and see you where you are right now. And I remember where you were when you first came. And when you first came, you were bound up, you know, and your lives were a mess. But as you yielded to God and you allowed him to make the changes in your life that need to be made, you become the new creature that you are right now. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God is saying he's very proud of you. And he does uphold you in his strong right arm. And he will be with you through every storm that you're going to go through, even from this moment forth. Life is not going to change and become a bowl of cherries. And God said, my love for you will never change either. Because my love is just what it is. It's pure love. And it's unchangeable. And he says, when you lose love, then you allow the enemy to come and wreak havoc into your life. And a loveless relationship starts to destroy. Not just the couple, but everybody around about them. It just starts to destroy. God is love. I'm here to tell you my life has not been an easy life. Never has been. And I don't care if it ever is. But in all my years, God has always been with me, and I've always known he loved me. As a little child, you know, in school, you know, in church, Jesus loves me, this I know. Remember, we went to a little church, they taught you that. And I was reading about this guy who, he's a commentary of the Bible. I guess he's really well known or something. And they asked him, when all studying the Bible, you know, you had to study Greek, Hebrew, and all that kind of stuff. He said, what did you learn? He looked at him, he says, Jesus loves me, this I know. And they said, is that all you learned? He said, that's all I need to know. Jesus loves me, this I know. Tonight, God wants you to know that he loves you unconditionally. He doesn't care what you've done. He just wants you to come back into his open arms. And he just wants you to stay there this time. He does not want you to leave. He does not want you to ever leave again. Life is hard. It really is. And life is getting harder. It's not getting easier. But what did God tell us? When all the darkness, the gross darkness is round about, he was going to use us as lights to go light up the dark world. Now, isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it to be a light to go light up a dark world? Who was it? Peter didn't want to be hung like Jesus did. He wanted to be hung upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be, you know, crucified like Jesus was. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. He knew that Jesus loved him. And he didn't want to become his equal. So he got crucified upside down. But he still died for Christ. How many of you in here tonight will die for Christ? How many of you in here will quit walking in your flesh and start dying to Christ, right? And you know, that means really, and I'm having a hard time right now this area, with your family, the ones that are using you and abusing you. I'm being serious. I'm having a hard time with that right now. And I've used the word hate a couple of times. I've had to repent because it's taken me there and I don't want to go there. I'm really tired of being used and abused. I'm tired of my children being abused. Do you understand this? So God had me teach on unconditional love tonight. So all week now I've been fought with this other thing, you know. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you just give it to God and you'll give in to love and not hate, your life's going to be so much more simple. If you're in a situation where people can't love you, then you just need to separate yourself from them. Or if you don't, you're going to die on the vine. Because their hate will be so strong that it will suck the life right out of you. Are you listening here tonight? So if God is telling you separate, then you need to separate because God knows what's happening. God knows what's going to come down the road. And God doesn't want any of his children to perish. Not a one of us does he want to perish. Tonight, what God wants to do is to anoint you with unconditional love. So that you can go forth and love people unconditionally. Hating the sin, but loving the person. And if we would just allow that unconditional love, and I've gone through this because I've really had to cry out to God, I really have. God will set you free. He will make a way in the wilderness, and he will start to give you guidelines on what you're to do to get yourself free. So tonight, the altar's open if you want God to anoint you for unconditional love for other people. And what God is saying is you can't go back into anger again either once he anoints you. And he's also saying, if you find it that people that you can't really love the way God wants you to, then separate yourself from those people. Don't stay connected to them. Separate yourself from them.